chapter number 42. That's Genesis chapter 42. One of the greatest challenges I've told you in the past, I'll tell you again, that I've learned in these past 10 or 11 years of being a pastor is finding what God would have and following the Spirit of God for every message for every hour. Now, I believe it is my conviction that God has a message for every hour. It may not have anything to do with you, or you may not think it does. Somebody under the sound of the Word of God needs what He gives. Could be you. I want to challenge you to have an open heart to that very thing. I have promoted and I have learned not to do this, but yet I keep doing it, so I evidently haven't learned. I had full intentions of preaching tonight on child rearing and the correcting of our children in a tough topic. What does the Bible say? But nothing seems to be falling into place the way that I intend it. But God put something on my heart in the late hours of the night, and I sat in the dining room at my in-law's house today with all of the noise and everything. It's about the only place I could go. It's adjacent really to the living room, and I just sat down and I studied the scripture and wrote out some hand notes of some things that He just put on my heart today or last night late, and I want to share it with you. And I love it when the Holy Spirit confirms things and brings them together. Rarely do I talk about somebody what they need to sing or not to sing, but that fits the need of the hour so well. Thank you for your sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If you're physically able, would you rise with me, please? And let's just honor the public reading of God's Word. And I want you to look in one verse, would you? And this is in Genesis chapter 42. And let's look in verse number 36. Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 36. The Bible declares, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away." Look this phrase. "All these things are against me." All these things are against me. The Lord being my helper tonight, I want to speak to you on a little while on this thought. Think about it with me. The hits just keep on coming. The hits just keep on coming. Now, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day that You've given us to live. I thank You for the privilege, Lord, to be in church this morning. The privilege to be back in church tonight. The joy it is to open Your Word and be among the people of God, to hear the praises of God's people, Lord, the songs of God's people as they sing, to be able to open Your Word. Lord, I want to thank You for the privilege to be able to preach one more time. Help me tonight, I pray, those that are here, those that are listening tonight live, I pray that You bless every effort. We give it to You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing with me. You may be seated. I imagine there's not one of us here that has not heard the term of "when it rains, it pours." Haven't you heard that? When it rains, it pours. Matter of fact, I imagine all of us have experienced to a certain degree what that term is really talking about. It just seems like that everything's going well for a while, and then you find yourself in a spot where the wheels just come off the bus, don't they? You find your spot in a spot where it just keeps on raining on you and raining on you. The clouds just keep on coming. One problem leads to the next. One issue just seems to magnify. It gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. The hits, it just keeps on coming. There was a man a few years ago, a friend of mine, and he's going through a hard time in his life and struggling with various things. And again, when it rains, it pours. He found himself in a place that it was raining and it was pouring, and it wasn't pouring, it seemed to be the sunshine of the blessings of God. You look back on the other side of it and you can see that. When you're going through it, you can't really see it at that time. Over the course of about 2 or 3 weeks, he would call me. There's no telling how many times he would call me. I would say 8 or 10 times that this happened. And I'd pick up my phone. You know, he wouldn't say hey. He wouldn't say hello. He wouldn't say hi. He wouldn't say, "How you doing?" He wouldn't say, "What's up?" He wouldn't say anything of that nature, but here is the phrase he would say over and over, "The hits just keep on coming." I immediately knew then something else had happened to him. How many of you ever heard that term before? The hits, they just keep on coming. We open our Bible right here to Genesis chapter 42. We are finding Jacob, this man. It's a familiar passage to many of us. We know the name Jacob, don't we? And we are finding him in the words that he gives us here at the end of the verse. "All these things are against me." Can I translate it this way to you? Jacob is saying, "The hits just keep on coming. It's raining and it is pouring in my life. The hits just keep on coming." Now, most of you know basically where we're at in the Word of God. One of my favorite stories in all of the Bible is the life of Joseph. I've told you many times there's two men in the Bible that the Lord never says anything negative about and doesn't even hint. One is Daniel, and the other is Joseph. And you're in the meat of this man's life right here. Joseph, as he is climbing the ladder in Egypt, he is now the prime minister. But it didn't start that way, did it? The story of Joseph takes us all the way back, really, to the early chapters. In chapters number 32 and 34 and 35, we are seeing the mention of Joseph and the birth of Joseph and all the details that are coming around that. And we know the story of how Joseph was hated by his brothers. He was hated by his brothers because of the love that his father showed to Joseph. Jacob the father gave Joseph his coat of many colors. And you know how it is. Joseph had a dream. He was a dreamer. God used a man in his dreams in those Old Testament days. And he had a dream of one day he was going to be great. Greater than the rest of the boys. Greater even than his father. And so his brothers didn't like that even the more. And so one day as they had gone to Dothan, he had gone to Dothan to find his brothers that were keeping the flock. Chapter 37 says, "The man in the field pointing him," a certain man, "pointed him the right direction." Joseph did find his brothers in Dothan as they were feeding the flock. But there, once they got there, they had plotted, didn't they? When they saw Joseph coming, they had plotted to do harm to this young man, Joseph. This young 17, 18-year-old boy, Joseph, they plotted. And you know the story. They dumped him in a pit and they took his coat, dipped it in an animal's blood, carried the coat back to dad, Jacob, and said, our brother must be dead. And Jacob said, "A beast has eaten, devoured my son." Oh, Jacob was never the same man after that. His heart was broken to the point that he never could recover from it. And so here we are many, many years later, 20-some-odd years later, when we come to chapter number 42. And we are finding Joseph, and you know the story. He went to work in Potiphar. He was sold as a prisoner, sold as a slave. When in Potiphar's home, Potiphar was the captain of the guard of the Egyptian army. And yet Potiphar saw favor and gave grace to this man Joseph. He climbed the ladder and became the keeper of everything that Potiphar had. God blessed Joseph. But then, of course, the story unfolds as Potiphar's wife came and made accusations against Joseph. Potiphar believed him and threw Joseph into the pit for 2 years that he was there. He suffered in darkness. The journey of Joseph was not always easy. But then he got out and he ascended second to the throne of Egypt. And God gave him a dream again that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And you needed to prepare for it. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph went on to save the world from starvation. What a beautiful picture and a type that is of the Lord Jesus Christ that went on to save the world from eternal starvation, eternal destruction. God was gracious, and you see him all through it. But here in chapter number 42, we are finding Joseph sitting on the throne, second only to the Pharaoh. And of course, the story as it goes, they were starving in the land of Canaan. Jacob sent his sons, and they had kept Simeon because Joseph was trying to see if they were truly contrite in all that they had done to them. They kept Simeon, and they say, "Go back and bring me Benjamin." Joseph said, "I want you to bring me the youngest son again, Benjamin." That's where we're at in chapter 42 and the conversation that the brothers are having with Jacob here. Jacob says again in verse number 36, and you'll look at it with me, please. The Bible says, "And Jacob their father said unto them, look at this, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. Joseph is gone, he's saying. Simeon is gone. Now you want to take Benjamin away from me. All these things, they are against me. The hits just keep on coming. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody on this Sunday night here where you are finding yourself in a place tonight where you're saying, all these things are against me. Everything with my husband, my spouse, your wife, my wife, whatever it is, it's against me. My kids are going all these directions. It's piling on me. It's against me. I cannot find a stable job. I cannot get ahead. I cannot get on a good footing. All of my health, it seems I'm struggling like I never have. All of this is coming. When it rains, it pours. All of these things are against me. The hits just keep on coming. I can't seem to catch a break. That's where Jacob is. I began looking at this passage of Scripture and doing some research of it and some study this afternoon, and the Lord just seemed to give me three thoughts. I want to pass them on to you. I just want to try to help you if I can from the Word of God. Let the Lord and His Word help us tonight. You can write them down if you would. First of all, when we look at chapter number 42 and verse number 36, I want you to think about the bitter and the building problems of this man, Jacob. The building and the bitter problems. When we look in the Bible, we notice this word bereaved that is given to us. And the word bereaved, it can actually be translated, and get this and write this in your Bible, miscarry. The word actually means the loss of a child. And so when Jacob here says that what you are telling me, it bereaves me, what he is saying is he is making a connection with the loss of Joseph. He is making a connection with the loss of Simeon. And then he is saying, if you take Benjamin away from me, I'm going to lose another child. He is basically saying it's going to make me relive once again the loss of Joseph and now the loss of Simeon. The loss of my child. That's what he is referring to. He has these mounting problems. We talked about how that he had already lost Joseph way back in chapter 37 and developing on from there. And then we talked about how that he had gone, they were starving to death. I mean, we don't know at this point in our nation what that really feels like. We may one day have that famine in our land. I believe it's possible in our lifetime, while even we're still here. Only God knows. But they were literally starving. The world was in a famine, so not only had he lost Joseph, the pride and the joy of his life, the young man that he loved because it was the child of his beloved dear wife that he just loved with all, he was gone at this point, and he had lost Joseph, that boy with a coat of many colors. But now he's grieving, and he basically grieved himself nearly to death. And now his family, he's having to watch his children, he's having to watch his grandchildren die literally slowly of starvation. Guys, try to picture in your mind how bad that would be to look and to be able to try to process what it was like to look and see your children, your grandchildren, little boy, little girl, that are dying of starvation. You're seeing them shrivel away, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no food. You can't go and pick up another shift at work to be able to afford something to eat. You can't go out and plant anything in the field because there is no rain. There is no ability to grow any food. You see your destiny. You see what is about to happen, and you are going to have to watch everyone else die one by one. You're going to have to bury your loved ones, and there is a part of you that hopes that it's you first. It's you first, so not only they may be able to outlive it and they may actually, the famine would turn and they may be able to survive, but you don't want to have to watch it. You don't want to have to see the ones you love go through the sorrow and go through the pain that they are in. And so they send the boys. He sends the boys to Egypt where they meet Joseph, and then they take Simeon from him, and then they're wanting him to say, hey, Joseph, the prime minister, they didn't know it was Joseph at the time. He says, we want you to send the youngest brother. Joseph was testing them, as we know the story. And Jacob is here and he's saying, dear God, I don't know what to do anymore. All of these things in my life are against me. He had problem after problem after problem. Here he is at this point. He is an old man. gray hair, a wrinkled face. He is an old man. His world has and is continuing to fall apart. He had had enough of all the sorrow, enough of all the trouble. He was saying the hits, they just keep on coming. What's happening in my life, it just is not fair. All these things are against me. You can see right now Jacob having a Job moment as he had lost everything and going and sitting down in the ashes and saying, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. I've got nothing more to live for at this point. He was at that low of a spot in his life. The hits just kept on coming. I'm not suggesting that any of us are at the point and at the place where old Jacob was right here. There sure are a lot of us here tonight in this building. Some, of course, that are listening tonight. I mean, you're in a place in your life where you're finding one problem after another problem. You cannot seem to get a break. There is no reprieve from it. You're just getting in the storm, and you're getting in the storm, and you're getting in the storm, and you're getting in the storm, and you can't get out of it. And there is a part of you that says, this just is not fair. I'm tired of this. It is enough. The hits just keep on coming. Everything is against me. You don't want to ask why. You think that's the wrong thing to ask. And you don't want to ask why all these things are happening. But it just doesn't seem fair. It seems like your world is falling apart and you've done nothing it would appear to deserve. How many of you know sometimes God will allow trials to come in our life? Just try to teach us some things. Just try to let us know some things. So if you're here today and you're in a situation where the hits, they just keep on coming in your life, just know you're not the first one. Know that there have been others all through history, the saints of God, the people of God, all through the years that have found themselves in trial, that have found themselves in trouble. The hits just kept on coming. There was no break. There was no reprieve from it. There was the bitter and there was the building. It was just getting worse and worse. Problems of this man, Jacob. Is that where you're at today? You're just seeing problem after problem after problem. Notice the second thing with me. Not only the bitter and the building problems, but secondly, I want you to think with me about the blatant pessimism. The blatant pessimism. You study this passage of Scripture and you look at what the Bible said, and you can look at it again. It's the only verse we're seeing here, but you are seeing a man who has a pessimistic attitude in the middle of all the hits that just keep on coming. You see, sometimes our attitude will determine how long we stay in the trial. Sometimes the way we approach it, sometimes our perspective, as we'll see in a moment, on the whole situation and whether we're looking at it from a glass half full or a glass half empty perspective, that may be why God has allowed it for us not to continually live in the pessimistic attitude that everything is against me. The hits just keep on coming. It's not fair. I'm tired of everything that I am having to deal with. Now write this down and learn this. Attitude determines altitude. Attitude determines altitude. If we get our attitudes right, it'll determine how high that we will go for the Lord. It will determine sometimes how long that we actually have to stay in the middle of the trial of our life. It will determine sometimes how long we will remain in the storm of our life. It will determine sometimes when the day is going to come when we will be able to say, this is fair, God is good, God is showing Himself in the middle of my problems. Though the hits may have come for a while, God had a purpose, God had a plan. And our attitude will determine everything having to do with that. And when you look at the life of Jacob here, it was his attitude. You can see it. It is dripping with pessimism. There's not much optimism here in his life, is there? It is dripping with a pessimistic attitude. All these things are against me. Joseph is gone, the pride and joy, the star of my life, the apple of my eye. Joseph is gone now. Simeon is gone. I'll probably never see Simeon again, or so he thought. And now you want to take Benjamin away from me. Everything is falling apart. The hits just keep on coming. My family is starving. I've lost everything. The hits just keep on coming. You read this verse of Scripture, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, poor old Jacob. I mean, here was the man, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I mean, this was a man, one of the descendants of the father of God's people. And he's saying, I'm tired of all this. The hits just keep on coming. I cannot get victory over anything. It's just not fair. You look at this, and this guy's as low can be right now. You've heard the old saying, you can reach up and scratch a snake's belly. He could sit on a dime and dangle his feet. That's how low old Jacob was. Poor, poor Jacob. But watch it right now. In this verse of Scripture, he is no longer the cocky trickster that he once was many, many years early. You remember when he stole Esau's birthright. But he may not have been the cocky trickster, but he also was not the great man of faith that he would be in a few more years before he died. He wasn't the trickster. He wasn't the man of faith. Follow me now. He was progressing. He wasn't what he once was. He wasn't what he was going to be. But he was gradually growing. It's easy for us to look at this situation and see the pessimistic attitude of old Jacob. And it would be easy for me just to ponder on that a while. It would be easy for me to preach on that just a little while and just drill it into our head of how we ought to have a better attitude and not be so pessimistic in the middle of everything. And there is truth to say that, and I think that we have. But don't overlook the fact Jacob wasn't where he was some 40, 50 years earlier. God had brought him a long way from the days that he had taken away and stolen the birthright and tricked everybody and was known all throughout as a trickster and had to run for his life. God had brought him a long, 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 long ways. Can somebody help me tonight testify to the fact that you are not the man, you're not the woman that you used to be. You're not yet what you're going to be. But God in His goodness has allowed a little bit of progress in your life. He's allowed a little bit of growth in your life. You're not perfect. You don't have it all figured out. But thanks be to God, He has done something for us. There's been some progress. There's been some growth in his life, some growth in his world. And though he's in a low point and a low spot right here where he says, all these things are against me. And yes, the hits just keep on coming. It's raining and it's pouring on my life. It's not fair. I've had enough. But I tell you, there was a time way back here where he would have no doubt run off and cursed God and never even looked that way again. But today, he's had a little bit of progress. It was a blessing. I love riding with my family to church. It's a blessing. Melissa, of course, we have two cars here today, and she left immediately after church, and I drove to Rossville 30 minutes or whatever to be with the family. And let me tell you something. I nearly jumped out of my car having a spell with the Lord as I headed up highway or north on Highway 27 today as I was pondering on this very truth. This man that was a trickster, this man that was nothing but bad news many years prior, God had gradually began doing a work in his life. Can I tell you tonight, do not belittle the gradual things, the little works that God is doing in somebody's life. Nobody is going to wake up one day and nobody is going to be the perfect Christian. Nobody is going to have it all figured out until we are in the perfection of God's plan. Nobody is going to have it all figured out. But I tell you what blesses my soul is when I see little glimmers of God's people growing. Amen. I love it when I see little glimmers in my own life of sanctification, of how there are some things that I once would do and some things that I once would say, but now it seems when I find myself in a similar situation, I do not allow the volcano of my mouth to explode, but the Holy Ghost of God, there's a restraint that has come there, and it thrills my soul when I see just a little bit of progress, just a little bit of growth in this messed up life that I have. And that's where old Jacob is here. We're seeing the fact that God has brought him a long, long way. But he is not where he will be in the future. He is not yet that great man of faith that he will be in the future. Jacob is growing. In this verse, verse number 36, he's not necessarily panicking. And he's not praising. He's just pessimistic. How many of you are pessimistic? I am. I mean, I have a problem with pessimism from time to time. I mean, it doesn't take much at all for me to get into a pessimistic attitude. Please don't say anything back there right now. Listen, you folks are the wonderful. You guys are so great. Y'all pray for my wife. She's got to live with me. She is the only person in the world who can hear it. Or I want it to be that way. I don't even want that, I don't guess. But I don't want anybody else to hear it. And sometimes, and you men, you know this, sometimes your wife will listen. She'll just simply be a sounding board for you. Thank God for people who are like that in our life. But don't be too critical of folks that are pessimistic like old Jacob was right here. Though he had a pessimistic attitude, it was different than what it was many, many years earlier. So we're seeing this pessimism, this blatant pessimism. Let's pause for a second. Let's go back to Joseph for just a second. I don't want you to miss this either. Though Jacob was not the man that he once was back here, though he had made some progress and he was making some growth, he wasn't yet who he was going to be in a few years either. But I want you to think about Joseph for a second. Joseph, his son, that coat of many colors, now the prime minister, second only to the throne in Pharaoh. Here's the thing. Joseph would have never said what Jacob said. Never. He would have never said, "All these things are against me. Woe is me." He would have never had that kind of attitude, old Joseph, when he found himself in the mess that he was in. And if he would have been in Jacob's spot where he was realizing that he had lost his youngest son and now Simeon, and now he's wanting to lose, maybe losing Benjamin. His family is starving. He doesn't have a place to live anymore. Everything is rotting. They can't afford to keep up the property. Their fields are nothing but dry dust when they walk through them. There's not a dime in the bank anymore. Joseph would have said, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God. Oh, Joseph would have been the one that would have blurted out, and he would have gone with Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's what Joseph would have done. There are some things that we can learn from our children. There are some things that we as parents can learn from our children. Our job is to raise our children. But it sure looks like right here, Joseph the son is raising Jacob the dad. He is testing him. He's saying dad, and even though they couldn't say it to one another, even though it was done by distance of several hundred miles, ultimately what old Joseph is saying, dad has some faith. I got your back. I'm going to take care of Simeon. I'm going to take care of Benjamin, and I'm going to make sure that you are cared for. Everything's okay. I am the picture of Christ in this story. It's going to be all right. Change your pessimism to optimism. It's going to be all right. It's all going to work out. And so we are seeing in this wonderful story that there is the bitter and the building problems. The hits, they just kept on coming. The rain just kept on pouring in his life. And then there was the blatant pessimism. Notice thirdly and finally, we also can see the big picture, can't we? Jacob couldn't see it. Joseph, that type of Christ, he could see it. He understood more about it. And you read verse number 36 again, and you don't see a whole lot of hope, or Jacob doesn't see a whole lot of hope in this mess that he finds himself in. His children are gone, they're starving to death, and he is going to have to watch all of that happening. He's going to have to watch and have to bury his kids and his grandkids. But I tell you what, when you flip over a few chapters, you can see that God had a plan. You can see that as the days passed in old Jacob's life, the big picture of God's plan began to develop. Though it was hard, and though it hurt for just a little while, in God's time and in God's way, he brought Jacob through every bit of the trouble, every bit of the hits that just kept on coming. And one day all things became clear to old Jacob. And it did that in this life. And God allowed him to live out the rest of his days in peace and provision in the land that the picture of Christ, Joseph, had set up for him. Folks, the hits may be coming in your life tonight, but you need to be able to look and see that there's a bigger picture. You just can't see everything now. You can't begin to fathom why dad's having to go through what he's going through. You can't see what God is doing. You can't see why you're having to go through what you're having to go through with your family and all of the matters and your sickness and the battles of life. Our church, we just can't understand why this keeps happening to us and that keeps happening to us. And it just doesn't seem like all of it fits right now. But there is a bigger picture. What you and I need to do is when it seems like the problems continue to overwhelm us in our life, and when it seems like the hits just keep on coming, it's raining and it's pouring, it's just getting bigger and it's getting broader, and it just doesn't seem like the problems are going to go away anytime soon, and you've fallen into a pessimistic attitude. I hope you're able to look back and see the fact that though you may have a pessimistic attitude, you are not the man or the woman that you once were. You are not the man or the woman that you are one day going to be. You've made a little bit of progress, and that's where you start. That's where you get past the pessimistic attitude. You find optimism in the fact that God has never failed you on this journey. He's not going to fail you in the rest of the days of this journey. And you can flip that pessimism to optimism in a hurry. Because God's got a big picture that you can't see. And one day, and it might be when we get on the other side, likely it will be before He reveals everything to us. And God, with His heavenly handkerchief, wipes away all of the tears from our eyes, and we see everything in the perfection of His plan. We're going to see that He was working for us. We're going to see that everything was not always against us. And sometimes it's about the perspective that you are taking on the problems that you're facing today. It is about the perspective that you take when the hits just keep on coming, when the rain just keeps on falling, when you have simply had enough, when it's just not fair. It's all about the perspective that you take to the battle, the storm, the giant of your life. Miss Mickey, you can come on to the piano, but I read this today and it caught my attention. You can play whenever you like. Now get this. when Goliath came against the children of Israel there at En-Gedi. The soldiers, they all said, he is so big, we can never kill him. But then old David showed up. And David looked at it and he saw it differently. He said, he is so big, I can't miss him. It's all about your perspective. It's all about how you're approaching it. And many of us are in that storm of life tonight. Many of us are facing that giant of life tonight. And it's not a matter that God is not there to help you fight the battle. It's not a matter that you are going to lose. You're not going to lose. It's a matter of whether you're going to be a pessimist or an optimist on your way to the finish line of victory. It's a matter of whether you're looking at your giant and saying he's too big for us to kill, or if you're saying he's too big for me to miss. And maybe tonight some of us just needs to fall on our feet. And maybe some of us on our face, and maybe some of us today need to say, dear God, yes, I have a pessimistic attitude. Thank you, though, Lord. I'm not where I was 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm not where I was 20 years ago. It's been slow. It's been progressive, though. But God has brought me to the place now where at least I don't just walk away. I'm going to keep pressing on for the Lord. Maybe some of you just need to fall down and say, dear God, thank you. Thank you for the growth that you gave me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Even in my trickster, my dark days, even in my pessimistic attitude, you're still so faithful to me. And then some of us tonight may just need to fall down and say, dear God, help me to have the right perspective. Not to be scared of the giant. He's too big for me to kill. But to look at it and say, who's too big for me to miss? I'm going to win. Are the hits coming in your life today? Do business with God. That's what the Lord placed on my heart last night. Let's respond accordingly. Our heads are bowed.